We speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I say we, not because I've taken on airs of some kind, but because David Brostrom and I are the kickoff team for All Souls Fall Stewardship Emphasis. We're playing and preaching under the banner of Sharing God's Bounty. David is speaking first about his experience as a member of this parish, particularly as a member of our youth group. David?
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is David Brostrom. I'm 16 years old and a sophomore at St. Mary's High School in Berkeley. I've been at All Souls for the last 7 years. My family and I came to All Souls just after we had joined as one. In fact, my parents were married in this church on this very day. This summer, I went on the immersion trip to South Dakota with All Souls and other churches. And that experience was what really solidified a firm spiritual connection for me with God and the church. It was a beautiful trip. Reaching out to the Lakota community and learning about their culture and religion was life-changing. On one of the first days of the trip, when I gazed out on the magnificent landscape, I truly felt God's presence with me for the first time I can remember. One of the activities that we participated in was making prayer beads after working hard all day. This was an unforgettable moment where I felt as though the beads embodied my relationship and connection with God. I still have the beads, and when I use them, it is as though I'm holding God in my hand. This experience epitomizes how important All Souls is for me in my growth as a Christian. I grow in so many ways, through serving as head cross and torch, through working at the open door dinner and other service opportunities, and through weekends at Bishop's Ranch. All of these culminated our experience with the Lakota people. All Souls is a very unique place, and it is through All Souls that I have actually found out so much about myself in ways that affect how I think and act every day. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes, "How from childhood have you known the sacred writings that were able to instruct you for salvation of Jesus Christ?" When I was younger, I never felt I'd learned these lessons that the Bible tells us because I would lose attention or my mind would wander during church. When I joined All Souls and I participated in physical service opportunities, I realized that my whole life I was learning these lessons and absorbing God's teachings. I was able to figure out that I could understand what was happening in church and that its complexity isn't only intended for the adults. Simply my age and maturity can be responsible for this loss of attention and contemplation, and a lot of this change in inspiration can't be taught. For me, it simply clicked and my mind opened up. Now, like I said, this transformation was not only on a religious level. I also found that at school and everyday life, things were different. I thank All Souls for providing me with all the opportunities and tools to reach this point, where I can look back at my childhood and realize that I've grown in faith ever since then.
Thanks, David, very much. How many of you were members of a youth group when you were in high school? So, quite a few of you. Like you, and like David and the other high schoolers who were here, as well as junior high people, I too was a member of a youth group when I was in high school and attended Christ Episcopal Church in Eureka, California. Actually, my wife Carol Ann and I were both members of that group. And I have to say that as an only child who was very much on his own, not overseen by absentee parents, that youth group at Christ Church and the church itself were two of the most important sources of stability in my life. And so it was that youth group, as well as my experience later on at university with the Canterbury Club, that led me to discern my vocation as a priest. And so I have a very soft spot in my heart for youth groups and what they can mean. Youth groups, such as the one we have here at All Souls, are places that welcome young people. Sometimes even welcome kids who are at risk, as well as those who have the support of family and friends. And in that nurturing environment, youth are able to gain clarity about their faith, ethics, and also find the light to illuminate their journey into adulthood. David has alluded to that in what he just said. He also mentioned that reading from 2 Timothy about how from childhood some people have known the sacred writings. Well, they only know the sacred writings because there's a place where they are taught them. It's my understanding that this year the vestry hopes and prays that we will all share God's bounty in our lives with sufficient generosity so that a half-time youth leader can be called to further strengthen and expand our ministry to youth. Because it is through Christian education and youth ministry that children learn the spiritual values and life-changing riches that come to them as they discover in the process of life in community, God's love. Not only God's love for them, but God's love for the entire world. Youth group is one of the primary environments where the Lord's words become real for our youth. In that first lesson that we heard from Jeremiah, he brings this message. Jeremiah says, "The Lord says, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." The primary way that God becomes real for any of us, no matter what our age, is through relationships with faithful people who reveal their beliefs by how they live and move and have their being on a daily basis. One of the lessons that Jesus teaches is that living an abundant life and a fulfilling life takes determination and tenacity. And that brings me to the parable that we heard in this morning's gospel, a parable about perseverance and our relationship to God. Jesus speaks of the crooked judge who is finally moved by an old widow who pesters and pleads until the judge finally does the right thing by her. Now, there are several ways that we can interpret this parable. Jesus could mean that we are like the unjust judge who fails to love God and do the right thing by our brothers and sisters, known and unknown, who fails to love and support those who need it. And if this is the case, then God could be seen in that persistent widow who's constantly pestering and badgering us to do the right thing. Or another way to look at this is to see that God is indeed the unjust judge. Now, referring to God as unjust seems like a bad rap, because I think most of us want to believe that God is fair and just to all people. But think about it. Is God really just? In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." If God were like the just judge, most of us would be in deep, deep trouble. If your forgiveness and my forgiveness depended upon how well and completely we forgave those who have harmed us, most of our personal sins would remain at least partially unforgiven. Indeed, a just judge would keep track of all our wrongs and make us set everything right before we'd be allowed to be free. A just judge would give us exactly what we deserve, nothing more, nothing less. But Jesus taught us that God's love and justice is always a generous love and a generous justice. Jesus on the cross took upon himself our sins, all of them, and those sins cost him his life. But before he died, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them." That, my friends, is the extravagant and bountiful love of God. A love that redeems all of us, whether we're worthy or not. Justice from God is not retribution, but loving mercy. So you see, in a sense, God is an unjust judge. Unjust because he's concerned not with punishment, but with love, mercy, and compassion. God indeed has persevered for centuries in trying to get his message across to us. That's really what the story of the Bible is all about. God's perseverance in trying to get his message across. A message that says, in spite of all that we might have done or been or not done or not been, God persists in loving us, and that bountiful love brings with it forgiveness and a new way of viewing the people and the world around us. When we really take that message to heart, we are changed. And so, therefore, is the world in which we live. Over the years, I've come to appreciate how precious and important God's love and mercy are in my life. Indeed, for all of us, life is a gift. And in the end, all we can take with us when we die is God's bountiful love for us. Transitory gifts that we have, our skills, talents, possessions, relationships, all have been given so that we can share this bounty with others, so that they may know and be changed by the good that comes from God's bountiful love, which knows no limits. As I mentioned earlier in this sermon, this marks the first day of All Souls Stewardship Emphasis. Between now and All Souls Sunday, November 7th, we're going to be asked to pray and ponder about how we might share God's bounty given to us by a loving God. How we might do that, especially in and through this congregation. An extraordinary congregation. I know that Carol Ann and I will find a way to stretch our financial giving, even in these uncertain economic times, because we know that in good times or bad times, God is here for us, especially in and through the relationships and worship that we enjoy in this congregation. We want to be part of helping All Souls ministry to grow and expand. We want to be part of an even more vibrant ministry for and with our youth, so that David and all the youth of All Souls might be a part of a ministry that makes and continues to make a difference in their lives. And we want it to be a place where, indeed, those who don't have a church home and a youth group might find a place. Because it's there that, as I said earlier, they will learn more that God loves them just as they are. I know all of us have read recently about the several young people who committed suicide. And I wondered at the time, reading that news, how many of those young people had a youth group that they belonged to, and what was the message that they might have received. If they'd been part of the youth group in this parish, their stories might very well have been very different. We also want to be part of what helps make this church strong enough to be a greater force for good in the city of Berkeley and beyond. We want people who are searching for a spiritual home to discover a faithful, loving, compassionate, worshipful, fun-loving group of people here on the corner of Cedar and Spruce. God, in the guise of the unjust judge, or the pesky widow, or in the words of Timothy or Jeremiah, or in the life we share in this Christian community that we call All Souls, invites us, never compels, but invites us to respond to his gracious and extraordinary love, not just with our lips, but also with our lives. Today and in the next few weeks, I hope that you'll think and pray about how God's lavished love has influenced your life, and then move faithfully forward with a decision about what you plan to give for 2011 to help this, our church, the place that we call our home of faith, be about the work of living out God's transformational love in the world around us. If we pray and listen, All Souls and our life together will continue to prosper. Amen.